Chapter 17. The Twilight Zone. The term autism was coined by the Swiss psychiatrist Eugen Bleuler in 1908. He derived it from the Greek word autos, meaning self, and he used it to describe an apparently schizophrenic patient who seemed withdrawn into himself and unable to form any interest or connection with others. In 1943, the Austrian-American child psychiatrist Leo Kanner published a paper titled Autistic Disturbances of Affective Contact, in which he described 11 children who experienced difficulties with social interactions, adapting to changes in routines, and engaging in spontaneous activities. They were unusually sensitive to stimuli, especially sound, and had food allergies and marked pickiness. They had good memories and intellectual potential, but also a propensity to repeat the words of their interlocutors, a condition called echolalia. In 1944, the Austrian pediatrician Hans Asperger published a paper titled The Autistic Psychopaths in Childhood, in which he described 4 children who seemed largely incapable of normal social interactions. Though incompetent at many ordinary tasks, they tended to focus obsessively on certain narrow interests in which they developed unusual ability or understanding. Kanner believed that almost all of the subjects had been born with the autistic syndrome he described. Only one case, that of Richard M., seemed to have a normal childhood and then regress into the syndrome. Richard M. was referred to Johns Hopkins at the age of 3 years, 3 months of age. His mother stated, "It seems he has gone backward mentally gradually for the last 2 years." She thought it sufficiently remarkable to mention that, following smallpox vaccination at 12 months, he had an attack of diarrhea and fever, from which he recovered in somewhat less than a week. Asperger claimed that 3 of his 4 subjects had displayed their odd personality traits since infancy with no apparent organic cause. However, he claimed that his 4th subject, Helmut L., suffered severe asphyxia at birth and was resuscitated at length. Soon after his birth, he suffered infantile spasms, a form of epilepsy, and then 2 additional episodes in the following days, but never again. Asperger expressed confidence that this boy had sustained brain damage that was a major contributing factor to his autism. Both Kanner and Asperger regarded the syndrome they described as very rare. During the 1980s and 1990s, neurologists in Sweden and the UK made observational studies and expanded Kanner's original concept of autism. During the late 1990s and early 2000s, an increasing number of parents reported the experience of having a child who seemed normal at birth and during the first 12 to 14 months of life, but then suffered a sudden regression, becoming withdrawn, absent, and nonverbal. That is, symptoms that resembled some of those described by Kanner and Asperger. During this period, the psychiatric profession started applying Kanner's concept of autism, which he believed to be a rare and apparently inborn disorder, to a rapidly proliferating number of children who suddenly present autistic symptoms after their first 12 to 20 months of normal development. To understand how strange and disturbing this experience is for the child's parents, imagine that you and your spouse have a 19-month-old boy in excellent health. Your child is perfectly responsive to mother and father. His cognitive and social development has hit all milestones. During a single visit with his pediatrician, he receives multiple vaccines. Shortly thereafter, he is struck with high fever, seizures, and severe gastrointestinal distress. You call your pediatrician, who explains that, per the CDC, there is a small increased risk for febrile seizures after vaccination. The pediatrician assures you the seizures will soon pass and your baby will be fine. However, Following this initial attack, your toddler becomes withdrawn and unresponsive to his mother. Instead of his characteristic bright-eyed smile, cheerful babble, and exclamations of delight, his facial affect becomes either blank, irritable, or distressed. He ceases playing interactive games and showing interest in objects that had previously grabbed his attention. You hope his condition is a passing aberration, but it's not. Weeks and months go by, but the cheerful and responsive toddler you knew never returns. As the child grows bigger and stronger, his condition becomes more frightening. He is easily upset at minor changes, throws tantrums, and reacts strangely to the way things look, taste, or smell. At night, you and your spouse are tormented by his agonized shrieks and the thudding of his head against the headboard. You are referred to a developmental pediatrician who diagnoses your child as suffering from autism. Immediately, you wonder, why was our healthy baby suddenly afflicted with this catastrophic social and cognitive impairment? The pediatrician has no answer. The cause of autism remains unknown, he says. What about the vaccines he got right before the trouble began? You ask. We know that vaccines don't cause autism. The pediatrician replies. But you just said we don't know what causes autism, you say. We don't know what causes autism, we just know that it isn't caused by vaccines, he proclaims. Your heart sinks with the suspicion that only a moron would utter such a patent logical fallacy. And yet, upon further investigation, you learn that your pediatrician is simply parroting the public health orthodoxy on vaccines, an orthodoxy established without any comparative study of autism among vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. You observe mainstream media pundits parroting the same safe and effective mantra. CNN's chief medical correspondent, Sanjay Gupta, asserts on national television, "We don't know what causes autism, but we do know it's not caused by vaccines." The situation is analogous to a missing child last seen getting into a brown 1976 Pontiac Firebird. The parents go to the local police station and are told by the missing persons investigator, "We don't know what happened to your child. We only know his disappearance is not connected with the driver of the brown 1976 Pontiac Firebird, whose identity we don't know." You turn on the television and see Microsoft monopolist Bill Gates aggressively proclaiming there is no link between vaccines and autism. You wonder why Gates is widely regarded as an authority on vaccines and autism, but no explanation is forthcoming apart from the fact he has made billions investing in pharmaceutical companies that make vaccines. You assume your predicament must be rare. But then you ask around and discover there are tens of thousands of couples who have experienced the same disaster. And yet, virtually no one in the medical science establishment will even acknowledge the connection between your child's sudden regression shortly after receiving multiple shots. You often wonder if you are crazy, or if everyone else is crazy. You seem to have entered, in the words of Rod Serling, a middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, that lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge, an area which we call the Twilight Zone.